WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Republican presidential debate number two featured seven candidates taking on the current administration.
Joe Biden should not be on the picket line. He should be on the southern border.
Bidenomics has failed. Wages are not keeping up with inflation.
Mike Pence and Tim Scott absent from the face-off, the frontrunner, Donald Trump. CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett.
Even though there were some choice words, some criticisms of the former president at the margin, no one really took him on. If you'd watched that debate last night, you'd think the worst thing that former President Trump had done to America was not attend that debate.
He says he won't attend the next one in November either. Lawmakers in the House begin the first open hearing in their impeachment inquiry into President Biden next hour. CBS's Linda Kenyon has details from Washington.
Republicans hope to establish that the president's son, Hunter, engaged in questionable business practices and that Joe Biden and his family benefited. The president denies any wrongdoing. Committee Chairman James Comer, by his own admission, has said the hearing is not expected to cover new ground. Instead, it will delve into issues already investigated by the special counsel in the Hunter Biden case.
The U.S. soldier expelled from North Korea yesterday arrived in San Antonio this morning. No word on what type of discipline Travis King might face after he bolted across the DMV in July. But in a speech in Pyongyang today, Kim Jong-un loudly cheered when he called for an exponential increase in nuclear weapons production to counter a threat from the United States. Police in Maryland say they've arrested a man wanted in the murder of 26-year-old tech entrepreneur Pava LaPere, who was reported missing on Monday. CBS Baltimore's Amy Kawata.
Jason Billingsley has been arrested. Our media partner, the Baltimore Banner, says that U.S. Marshals took him into custody last night just after 11 at his train station in Bowie.
Billingsley is a convicted felon and a registered sex offender. He was released from prison almost a year ago. One night after a massive flash mob looting spree, there was new trouble in Philadelphia. KYW's Tim Jimenez says thieves hit a liquor store.
The looters tore down the roll-up metal gates. They smashed the windows to get inside. And in the mad dash to get out, people were dropping bottles left and right. And this morning, this parking lot is glistening with shattered glass that's sprinkled all over the place.
Philly police say they've made at least 52 arrests in Tuesday night's incident. Blow to people with Lou Gehrig's disease. A panel of experts has voted overwhelmingly against drug maker Brainstorm cell-based treatment, Neurone. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Lake Country Fire and Rescue is facing a staffing crisis and can't proceed with their plan to add more staff until the city of Delafield pays an outstanding amount of $300,000. That was part of the discussions this week during a meeting. Fox 6 reports the disagreement over funding among the seven communities sharing fire protection services has created tensions, with some arguing that each community should contribute their fair share to support the staffing plan. The 2024 Waukesha County budget has been unveiled by County Executive Paul Farrow.
The budget totals over $391 million. If approved, it would lead to a 9.1% reduction in the tax rate, marking the lowest in 30 years and the lowest among Wisconsin counties. Farrow emphasized the budget's focus on law enforcement funding. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes. think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm so happy to have my dear brother, James Causey, award-winning writer and author of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's, look, man, I remember you when, you know, my hair used to be black.
We go way back around.
Yeah, man, we do, man. And now there's gray in your beard.
Yeah, well, it's called living. It's called living in our city.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the radio show and my listening audience. Get to know a little bit about you. Let's tell a little bit about who James Causey is.
Yeah, James Causey. Who am I? I'm a journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm a
award-winning journalist.
Come on. You know, if you've been in this business long enough, you should have won several awards, right? Because the media industry, as you know, is tough. It's tough to, and it's especially tough being a black journalist in a city that we love and cover, because we have to tell harsh truths sometimes, and right. We also have to educate. So that's what I try to do every day when I go into work, when I craft my stories. I'm a father, I'm a husband. I try to be in a community as much as possible, but I also take mental breaks, because we all need to do that as well. But I strive to want to see my community do better.
With your talents, man, you could go anywhere and do the job. Why are you still in Milwaukee?
That's a good question. but I'm here because this is my hometown, and I want to see it do well, just like you do. And you know, like you said, we have these talks before.
Yeah, right.
You're a lifer. You constantly say you're not going any place, and I thought about leaving. I've lived in other cities. I've lived in Boston. I lived in New York. I lived in other cities.
Right.
And I you know, this is my home though, and I want to see it do well.
Let me ask you, man. For people who don't really know the critical things that occur with young people and their development in our city and in other urban cities that weren't there when you and I were young. Tell us a little bit about some of the changes that have happened since you were a child, and things that young people today face that you and I didn't when we were young.
Well, you know, let's just talk about education, for instance. You know, our kids go through metal detectors. Our kids are constantly subjected to violence. They see it on a daily basis, even just going to school, getting to school, getting out of, you know, just getting up to get to school is a challenge for a lot of young people because they see things that a lot of kids in more affluent communities don't have to come across. You know, the reckless driving, the crime, a lot of these things. Literacy is a huge issue in our community. But we also, I think we have to wrap our arms around our kids and love them more. I just don't think we have love for our young people like we should. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about everyone. You know, we're quick to criticize and talk about how young people aren't doing this and young people aren't doing that. Like we were not young.
Right.
But if we took the time to really try to understand our youth and get to understand them and know them and listen to them and incorporate some of their ideas into some of the things that we are trying to fix, I think we could go a lot further. But this is what typically happens. Like, let me give you an example. I was recently at a panel discussion where we had a bunch of young people talking about some of the obstacles that they face. It was like at the Helen Bader, had like four young people on a dais speaking. And the young people said, well, you know, we don't want to see more cops in schools. We would like more mental health experts. We would like more counselors. We would like more peer mediation and things like that. But, you know,
what that falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. And, you know, we listen, we applaud, we say, oh, they're so articulate. We say, man, these are really good kids. But then we say, no, we're not going to give you that. We're going to add more officers to your school. We're going to give you this instead of what you really asked for. And that has happened far too many times. And then we wonder why these ideas that adults come up with never work because we listen to the kids, but we never incorporate their ideas. Kids know what they need. They know what they need. We just have to really listen and try to incorporate those ideas.
You know, James, when, I always say this every time I get a chance to talk with a group of young children, I always tell them raise their hands if they know somebody who's been shot or who's been killed. And if somebody would have asked you and your generation, the percentage of kids raising their hand would have been a lot less than the 80 to 90% that we see today.
Oh, of course.
If they would have asked that question to my generation, if one person would have raised their hands. So when you talk about the crime that they're faced with, we're not talking about pickpocket crimes.
No.
We're not talking about those. We're talking about people being slaughtered. We're talking about murders. We're talking about blood running in the street.
Exactly. And we're numb to it. We're numb to it. There was
as a society.
As a society. Of course.
Right.
We're numb to it. And why isn't that? That should raise awareness to everything, to our mental state, to our mental health, to what our kids see. You know, we like to say our kids and adults are resilient. But how resilient do you have to be when you see that it's on a constant basis and it doesn't seem like it affects you? I don't know if that's called being resilient. I think that's just being numb to an issue that you can't get out of.
So you can't, on the one hand, talk about post-traumatic stress disorder that military veterans engaged in and the impact that they know it has on those men and women who fight in these battles.
Right.
And then not agree and say that also impacts children even more so because they're in war zones in their communities where more people are killed in their community than even in theaters of war.
Of course. But think about this, Earl. I think we've come a long ways on how we talk about mental health. It used to be something like nobody wanted to be considered crazy. You know, that was one of those words that we used to toss out there all the time. We don't use terms like that as much now. And everyone talks about mental health. Police talk about mental health. Young people talk about mental health. Adults talk about mental health. But we talk about it, but I'm not really seeing the action behind it of what we really need. You know, why is it in some neighborhoods we have more liquor stores than anything else? You know, when I drive to work, you know, and it's like a 2 mile drive or 2.5 mile drive, there's like about 20 establishments or 25 establishments where I could stop in and get alcohol. That's a problem to me. That's a problem. You know, so, you know, I think this is done on, you know, I've been getting into more conspiracy theories type of things. And I think this is a numbing of our society, you know, give them alcohol to keep them numb to all the things around them instead of really trying to fix them and bring them up. You know, that's the way I'm starting to look at things now. And it's completely changing my sense of where we are.
So let's just for a moment pause and look at that issue with the liquor stores and the bars in certain radiuses in our neighborhoods and in our communities.
Most of them that we don't own.
That is something that can be controlled, and it is on the older people.
Yes.
Who look like you and me.
Yes.
Who allow that to take place.
Yes.
That's something that should be controlled.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But you don't have people who are politically savvy enough in the communities and in the neighborhoods, because their struggle is to survive on a daily basis. They're not as politically savvy as people are in many other areas, because we have one of the youngest populations, African-American populations in the nation.
One of the youngest, one of the poorest,
right.
one of the populations that has the widest educational gaps,
right.
Widest wealth gaps. I mean, you know, think about this, Earl. You know, we're talking about something really deep here in mental health, but we have a lot of people who are just in survival mode. Everything is high. Gas is high. Food is high. Rent is high. Everything can't be high at the same time. And poor people are trying to navigate and trying to live and survive when everything is high. Everything is high except the salaries. The salaries aren't going up.
So James, here's what they say. Well, it's because of Joe Biden that everything is high, right? Okay. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican when it comes to these the fact that people who live in these pockets in this country cannot survive. They cannot move forward because, you know, Democrats aren't going to be able to change the pay structure for people who are on the lowest rung. Democrats alone aren't going to be able to change the things that need to be changed in the educational system, because some of these things, James, are institutional.
Well, some of the things could be changed. We could change the minimum wage and raise it.
Right. But both Democrats and Republicans should make that happen.
Well, that should be just a common sense approach. You know, it's been 735 for the last 20 years or so.
Hold on, man. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I'm so glad to have my friend and my brother, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, in the studio. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin is facing an unprecedented threat, a constitutional crisis that would overrule the votes of nearly 2 million Wisconsinites who voted in the state Supreme Court election this past April. It's a threat made by some extremist Republicans who are desperate to overturn a fair and democratic election so they can hold on to power. Instead of focusing on the issues we really care about, they are threatening to illegally impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz without evidence before she's even ruled on a single case. Removing Justice Janet Protasiewicz from office would threaten our democracy and overrule the will of the people. But it's not too late to protect your vote and stand up for the rule of law. Tell your state legislators not to overturn the results of an election. Tell them to oppose the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Contact your state legislators at 1-800-362-9472, then visit defendjustice.us to learn more about how you can help stop the illegal impeachment of Justice Janet. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Auto Glass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Auto Glass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Auto Glass Now today for full details.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. CivicMedia.us.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 68. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight. Lows level off around 53. High temperatures reach up to 71. Tomorrow, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Hey.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is James Cause, the award-winning journalist and author of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You know, James, when we talk about mental health and we're talking about, you know, something that I talk about on this show all the time, because mental health issues in this country impact and affect from the wealthiest, from the people who live high on the hill, to those who live down on the ground. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what your religious persuasion is, mental health is an issue that is getting worse in this country and should be a priority. But don't tell me that we can't afford to help the American people who have mental illnesses, especially children, because children with mental illness grow up to be adults with mental illness.
Right.
And the fact that we won't address it in these early stages sets us up for some of the carnage that we see in the society.
There's no argument with you there. And the sad part about this is that we know this. I mean, this isn't brand new. We've been talking about this. Everybody knows this. But what are we doing about it? What's really taking place to really get a grip on this? I think what we have, you know, this has become a political issue because no one wants to give anyone else a win, you know? And this happens all the time. If, for instance, if a Democratic governor puts X amount of dollars into mental health, you may have a Republican-controlled
Senate
that says, nah, we're not going to let you get this win. How does that help us? How does that help the public? And it could be the other way around. Republican brings this up, and if the Dems control, they may not want to give this person a win. I think we have to get rid of the politics when it comes to addressing the issues of our citizens and making sure that they're made whole. I mean, we're struggling every day. I mean, you know, I've seen how our grocery bills have gone up. I've seen car insurance is up and all these kind of things. That stuff, that stress, that pressure from trying to pay your bills, trying to survive, challenges you mentally. If you're not challenged by that, you're better than me because I'm stressed out by it.
You know, man, I did something I haven't done in a long time, and I had an Egg McMuffin this morning. You can lash me if you know, and I deserve a lashing for having an Egg McMuffin. But I took it out of the wrapper, and it was half of what it used to be.
Well, yeah, Cut back.
The size of it.
Yeah, cut back.
The price of it remains the same.
Yes.
But half the size.
Yes.
And yet people are paying what they paid before. Go into any grocery store and pick up any item, and it looks like the little items that they used to have when your sisters used to get, you know, for Christmas, they get the little refrigerator and the little boxes of things. Mm-hmm. And yet that's real food.
Bigger is not better. Of them,
no. And the prices of them have soared.
Of course.
Okay. And yet the average person, as you talked about, minimum wage in the state of Wisconsin, is still $7.50. And then people say, well, you know, Earl, nobody's making $7.50. Maybe not, but they're making 10. They're making 12, which is a poverty rate.
And a lot of people are making the $7 in some sense. You know, the thing is, that's just what people, that's, think about it. Why haven't we even addressed this? Why can't this become an issue? I mean, I know fast food workers have went on strike and talked about raising the minimum wage to $12 to $15 and things like this. But every time they do this, you know, people say, nah, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that. But, you know, can you go any place right now without having that screen flipped on you and somebody requesting a tip? I mean,
I know.
It's they're tipping us to death, you know, and I feel guilty when I don't tip. And so, you know, they're trying to get it any way that they can. And I feel sorry for them because I know minimum wage should be raised because nobody could live off of what we pay them. And honestly, you know, they've done studies to show that what it should be around $16 an hour for the minimum wage.
And even, but James, even with $16 an hour in today's...
It's not enough.
No. I mean, we're talking, I had a woman on couple times. She's spent 30 years working in fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful lady. And the most she ever made was $14 an hour as a manager.
Mm-hmm.
She worked 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
What position do you think she's in economically as she enters into a retirement age? What do you think her Social Security benefit is going to be like? And how much money that's going to be. Never mind, she hasn't been able to save a dime.
No.
And yet she's worked her entire adult life. She represents many people, James. She's not alone.
She represents America, and we don't value work. And when I say we don't value work, I think if you work any place for like 10, 20, 30 years, it's value in that. There should be respect in that. And when you do retire, if you're able to see retirement, you shouldn't have to struggle even more. What does that say about us when a person gives you 30 years of their life to an industry or to a company or to someone like that? And when they do retire, when their bodies are broken down, they still have to struggle.
Well, but see, James, what it says is there was a time in this society when that didn't occur because there were pensions. And 30% or more of the American people receive that. Mm-hmm. I receive one. It makes a major difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But others who did the exact same thing that I did don't.
Right.
And so they came up with a 401k hustle that they tried to replace the pensions with.
Yes.
You know, because they certainly didn't want the people to get their fair benefits and fair share. Listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is in studio. I'm glad he's here. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. 7 Republican presidential candidates held their second debate last night, missing the frontrunner, former President Trump, communications strategist Terry Sullivan.
Regardless of what the issue is and what Republican primary voters care about, they've got to take the fight to Donald Trump, 100%.
He gave a speech at a non-union auto parts factory in Michigan. House Republicans hold their first impeachment inquiry hearing into President Biden next hour. Analyst Amy Dacey.
Even after months of digging, there hasn't been proof yet that I've seen. I don't expect much to come out of this. I think it's literally playing out in this political battlefield that also involves the government shutdown.
Maryland police have arrested a convicted sex offender in the murder of a young tech entrepreneur. CBS Baltimore's Amy Kawata.
Billingsley, who was considered highly dangerous while on the run, had been wanted on a first-degree murder arrest for the killing of 26-year-old Pavel LePere, CEO and founder of EcoMap Technologies.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The 2024 Waukesha County budget has been unveiled by County Executive Paul Farrow.
The budget totals over $391 million with a $114 million tax levy. If approved, it would lead to a 9.1% reduction in the tax rate, marking the lowest in 30 years and the lowest among Wisconsin counties. Farrow emphasized the budget's focus on law enforcement funding, including increased allocations to the Sheriff's Department, courts, District Attorney's Office, County Dispatch, and the Medical Examiner's Office. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
For the 16th time this year, TSA found a gun while screening luggage at Mitchell. TSA officers Monday alerted the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, who promptly confiscated the unloaded gun. People can travel with weapons, but there are specific guidelines for that process. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
James, and by the way, I play the best music anyway.
I love it.
Oh, I can see more. That you don't know me very well. Uh-uh. You're so unsure. And you run here and
all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is award-winning journalist and author James Causey of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Hey, Earl. Thank you, James, for what you do.
Thank you.
And Jeannie is definitely a rock star. She's from a town only a half hour from mine, her being in Eau Claire and me being originally from Durand. So shout out to Jeannie. No, I think the biggest question we should be asking politicians is, you can look at the statistics and you can see that there's four indices basically that things are broken down into. And one is mortgage or rent, and that's about $16,000 a year. Healthcare, which is about $16,000 a year, whether it be in premiums or actual medical care. Child care, which is $16,000 a year if you have a child that has to go to child care, and $16,000 a year in taxes. So something's got to give, or they got to come up with a plan, because if you're only making $15 an hour, that's $30,000 a year. Family of two, that's $60,000 a year, and you've already paid $64,000 for your expenses. I mean, I don't understand why it is that people that are in the we the people government, or we the people, are not looking at this and going, this math just does not work. And then you have, like you're talking about, you have all these different establishments, alcohol places and stuff like that. But look at all the payday lenders that are on every block and every corner, probably, that's going on as well.
Predatory lending, man.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't know where it is, you know. And then people talk about, oh, the prices are so high. Well, we got monopolies. Of course the prices are so high. Break up the monopolies with the Sherman antitrust law that Ronald Reagan basically got rid of. And you know what? You'll start having competition and prices will start to drop. But right now, these prices are high, not because
they're not high because of Joe Biden.
No, not because of Joe Biden. And Joe Biden does not control the gasoline either. That's OPEC, and that's sold on a national or world deal. So I don't know what they're talking about with that either.
So Tom, we got you, man. Thank you very much for the call. So James, at the root of all of these things is the American people don't really understand. Many in this country do not understand the inner workings of the government.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that when you elect people, they should be doing the bidding for you and not for lobbyists and not for corporations.
Mm-hmm.
But behind the scenes, that's where they're doing their business. They're hurting you and I, because the very people who are taking advantage of us are the ones they're catering to.
Of course. I mean, thanks for the last call. I mean, you also got to factor in food, electricity, gas, clothing, transportation, new taxes that they're putting on us as well. But you make an interesting point here, Earl. I mean, I think that the common denominator here is corporate greed. And people, it's the difference between the haves and the have-nots. You know, our politicians, we elect them based on various reasons. We pick them because we think they have our best interests in mind. They have a good look. They speak well, whatever we pick them for. But we expect them to do the things that we want them to do. But behind the scenes, all the time, they're like, they're not listening to us. They're being controlled by all the money that they're taking from other people.
I know.
And that's what they're doing. So the only time that they really come to us to cater to us when they need our vote. Other than that, you don't see them.
So people get frustrated with me because, you know, James, you've known me for a long time. And let's do this. Let's go to CJ. Go ahead, CJ.
I just can't even believe that, this president and his policies from day one with executive orders have not had any responsibility draining our strategic oil reserve.
CJ.
And that's why Saudi said, you know what, we're not going to produce more
CJ,
for you.
CJ, there are many people in this country who don't give a hoot about the strategic oil reserve being drained. They're worried about, am I going to be able to pay especially in the state of Wisconsin and in the city of Milwaukee, am I going to be able to pay my gas bill? Which at many instances, James, is more than the rent.
Yeah.
And so they're concerned about being put out of their house every April 15th, which is tax day for some, but it's homelessness day for many who live in the state of Wisconsin who can't pay the freight for the gas bill, you know, because they rent a house that is not sealed. I don't know.
Energy efficient.
And so they're not worried about, you know, the things you're talking about, CJ. They're worried about survival. This is what we're talking about. Too many people in the nation concerned about survival. If you're not, you're fortunate. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the people who are. And that number continues to climb, James. And it's not an urban myth. It's rural. It's all over the nation.
It's all over the nation. And you could just, you know, drive down many of the streets in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County area, and you see people begging for money all the time. And they're coming all colors, all races, all sexes. You know, you can't drop, for instance, drive down South 27th Street. You're guaranteed to pass at least 15 to 20 people looking for needing money or standing on the corner begging.
Well, so clearly there's something wrong with our system of government. At the root of it, there's something about this system. And I started my show this morning, the first hour, talking about this government. And so unless people really understand that, and I know right now people are rallying, hey, get out and vote. It's the presidential election. Get out and vote, 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 vote. And so the way the system is presently set up, even voting does not change the reality for many people. CJ.
The policies that have been put in place by this government during COVID, and yes, it has come home to roost, but the whole thing starts with parents. Earl, everything comes to the parents. The kids today aren't educated.
Is that the parents' fault?
I didn't mention a color to you.
I didn't say a color. I said, is that the parents' fault? Said everything starts with the parents.
You know what? There's one parent homes, and they come in all colors. You claim that I only point out the inner city kids. I'm saying the family structure and education and the ability for parents to walk away and depend on the government, to depend on the teacher, to depend on everybody else than themselves to educate their children. It is sad to watch.
Hey CJ. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm just going to jump in here, CJ. So, you know, I was lucky enough to come from a two-parent household, but we believe in a village approach anyway. And I think that's the part I think Earl is trying to get through to you. We're not talking about race here, but you say that, you know, a lot of these kids come from single-parent households. I know some people who have been, are products of two family households, and they also struggle. I mean, I don't think that that's the sole problem. And when we talk about education, some of these parents are struggling educationally, you know, and they're paying back student loans. I pay back student loans for like over 20 years for my Marquette education, you know? So college expenses they take a tremendous toll on people. So again, everything can't be expensive. So we have to take a village approach to address this. So yeah, teachers bear a brunt of that. They need to be on the hook. Education systems need to be on the hook. Parents have a role as well, but it's just, you could say it starts with the parents. And of course we know it is because that's where the kid is most of the time before they go to school. But after that, it becomes a village approach, and everybody has to be a part of this and be a part of this kid's success. And why should we just look at the kid and say, oh, he came from a single parent household, he's struggling? Well, that's the opportunity for everybody else to step in and lift this kid up, because when a kid struggles, that's impacts all of us. And if take race out of it, it impacts everyone. It becomes a burden on society. So we could sit back and blame the parents and think we did something in doing that. But what does that really do if we're not going to add action to it?
So, and the other part of this is, let's stop talking like it's easy to raise a child.
Right.
It's even with two parents. Okay. It's not. And James, the society around us has changed. This thing.
The cell phone.
The impact of what children are exposed to today.
Yes.
Even, and James, you're a lot younger than I am, but you're getting there. And that technology has changed since you were young.
And that technology has made it much difficult for parents.
Yes.
It's made it more difficult for us. I've worked with some of the most educated people in the state of Wisconsin. I was just saying the nation.
Right.
Right. I work with some of the most brilliant journalists ever, educated, to come from two parent households, sent their kids to college, and guess what? Because of corporate greed, and this may get me in trouble, but due to cutbacks and slashing of staffs, a lot of these people lost their jobs and they're still looking for work. So if their kids struggle a little bit because they lost their jobs, is this the parents' fault? Something beyond their control? No, it's not. It's society has changed to the point where I don't think, like, again, we don't value work. We don't value the dedication that people have given to a lot of these companies, where a company, you could give them 20 years, 25 years, and they'd be like, our second quarter sales were pretty tough, and we're looking to get like at least 20 people to take a buyout. And so these people lose their jobs.
So
that has nothing to do with anything else but just greed.
So a society that refuses to value people. James, mm-hmm. That's where we are. We live in a society that does not value human capital, right?
True.
And so nobody makes money without having somebody who helps them along the way.
Exactly.
And there was a time in this society that in my lifespan, where the corporation valued the employees because they offered them vacations. They offered them pensions. They offered them health care. And that's what built the middle class in this country. And they took all of that away.
Now they just say goodbye.
Yeah. And so the middle class struggles. And it does not matter. Listen, we got to go to a break. So Ken, hang on. And my guest is James Causey, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll be right back.
Weather brought to you by the town of Brookfield's third annual Brooktoberfest, September 30th from 11 until 6 at Steffen's Soccer. Enjoy live music, local food vendors, best dress competition, wiener dog races, a kid zone, a classic car show, and more. Log on, discoverbrookfield.com. Prost.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knotel, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Chance for isolated rain showers this afternoon, otherwise overcast. High of 68, winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 53. Daytime highs approaching 71. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. Dry and warmer Saturday and Sunday, with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 61 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
All right, welcome back to what I think is just too fast a time frame. It's like in the twinkling of an eye. My good friend James Causey just walked in the door, and now it's almost c'est la vie. But anyway, let's go to the phone lines and Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what?
You're doing well.
Okay.
March of 19, 2020, Joe Biden did an interview on Face the Nation, vowed to ban oil and gas drilling if elected president. There's your answer. That's why people are on the streets begging for money.
Hey, let me ask you something. You live in Sturgeon Bay. Are there any people on the street begging for money in Sturgeon Bay?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so you're going to tell me that the reason the people on the street begging for money in Sturgeon Bay is because of Joe Biden in oil?
Fuel prices. You can't pay $5-6 a gallon for diesel fuel and bring products around this nation that cost.
Is that the major issue, Ken? One of the biggest issues that we're dealing with in this country?
That started everything, Earl. $5-6 a gallon diesel fuel pushed the cost of everything up. That's why inflation started. You can't run a country on $5-6 a gallon in fuel.
Hey Ken, let me ask you this one. Let me ask you this one question, and then I'll let James respond to you. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that inflation is global?
Yes, it is.
No, Joe Biden did not start global inflation, man.
The biggest economy in the world, you don't think that's going to affect other countries if inflation's high here?
Okay. Okay, man. Thank you very much, Nicole. James?
I think that's a simplistic
way
to answer a question. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It's a combination of, what the effects of COVID and how the country was shut down. It was a result of people reevaluating themselves and looking at how to reinvent themselves after COVID. Everybody's recouping their money that they lost during COVID.
So let me ask you, James, to descend into the conversation what Ken is having, as if there weren't people struggling and poor
before COVID. Before the drilling, before Joe Biden.
Yeah, I mean, it's simplistic way for people who aren't genuine enough to address the real issues in our society, James. And I think it is part and parcel the reason we are where we are now, because we can't have a real intelligent conversation about the truth of what brought this nation to where it is now.
It's interesting that I didn't really hear drilling talked about last night during a Republican debate. So if that was the case, I think they would have been all over that, and that would have been the number one topic of conversation.
So let me ask you, man, our nation is in trouble. It's safe to say that. I'll tell you something. It's in some of the worst trouble it's been in my 69 years of living.
Mm-hmm.
And the future of it is questionable. When you have such a large segment of the population and growing who can't make it justly or rightly in this society, while a handful of people continue, and somebody told me, hey, Earl, hey, are you aware that Elon Musk is going to become the first trillionaire? And I'm like, oh, that means something to you? That excites you that one man
mm-hmm.
can become a trillionaire?
Right.
Well, you know, you could too one day. Oh, okay. All right. I mean, it's that mentality, Jay.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting back to the one caller who's blamed it on the parents, I think we all know that in order for anyone to make it in this society, you need help. You know,
no question.
I mean, the founder of Facebook, I mean, I always use this example, real quick story. When he came up with the idea for Facebook, he wanted it to be used to communicate with kids at Harvard, right? And then he met with some people. They said, you need to think bigger than that. He said, what, Harvard, MIT? They're like, no, bigger than that. He said, across the state? No, bigger than that. Across the country? No, worldwide. He never thought that big. It wasn't until Zuckerberg met with all these other people who elevated him, who wrapped their arms around him and loved on him, and because they saw his vision could be bigger, that it became what it is today. So if that's what it takes for a person to become a millionaire, just imagine if just a few people just lend their hands to people who need a little bit of help, how much we could elevate them ourselves.
Look, man, it's unfortunate, but we've reached the end of today. But promise me you'll come back.
I'll be back. All you have to do is call.
All right. So that's James Causey, award-winning journalist from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank everybody who made this show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow as my co-host Sandy Williams will be joining me. We'll see you later.
This is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.